Your dog's ready for one more block. Your knees, not so much. Time to call Joint Relief Institute. Fast, non-surgical knee pain relief. 708-888-0000.
I normally heard at 9 p.m., but since it's Thursday, and we have the Thursday 9 o'clock three-peat, it is on now as we empty Jack Heinrich's head, so to speak, of the sports that's in there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wrigley buzzing again today.
Really?
Yes.
No kidding.
Walk-off win for the Cubs.
Oh, my God. Somebody ought to make a movie. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of fun happening on the north side right now. 11th walk-off win of the season. This one created by who else? Pete Crow Armstrong. He looked to have walked it off with a single in the top of the 11th, but Carson Kelly got thrown out at the plate. He got to second, did PCA. He then tried to steal third, did it successfully, bad throw. He comes in to score. He creates havoc on the base paths.
Amazing.
What can't he do? Cubs win 3-2. They were shut down by Dylan Cease for most of the game, 7 shutout innings. They're down 2-0, down to their final out, down to their final strike. Alex Bregman, really his first big welcome to the Cubs moment here in August. It's been rough for the prize free agent signing for the Cubs, but he hits a 2-run homer to tie the game. It banged off the right above the netting. They have like that wall. It banged off the wall, made a loud noise, and went into the basket. So the Cubs get a win. They come back. A lot of good vibes here. They're 4-0 this week. They went 5-2 on their homestand against the Yankees, the Dodgers, and then the one game makeup against the Blue Jays. So they're heading out on the road for the next week, heading out to Kansas City, but the vibes are going very, very well for the Cubs. They're still, I think, 5.5 games back of Milwaukee in the NL Central because Milwaukee is still winning a bunch as well, but those two teams have 7 games coming up here to close out the season, so a lot of head-to-head still to happen. But the Cubs, 18 games over 500, so
wow.
They're really back on this upswing here.
You don't hear that all the time.
No, you do not. 18 games over 500 for the Cubs. They were, I think, 34-34 or something like that. So they've been really on a heater this last month and a half. They're 5.5 back of Milwaukee in the NL Central, but they're 5.5 up in the wild card and 5 games ahead of Philadelphia for the top wild card spot, and that's a big deal because if they're the top wild card team, they get that 3-game wild card series at Wrigley Field, and we've seen what they've been doing at Wrigley Field this season. So definitely a big home field advantage. The Cubs' vibes are good, and their big pitching trade acquisitions, Kevin Gausman and Clay Holmes, are pitching Friday and Saturday, respectively, for their Cubs debuts. For Holmes, this is his first start since May 15th. He took like a 110-mile-an-hour comebacker off his right leg, so he had a broken right fibia. So he's been out since May. This will be his first start since then. So a little fresher arm there since it was just a broken bone, not just a broken bone, but a broken bone on his leg. So nothing arm-related. So should have some freshness there, even with the injury. So that'll be interesting to watch. The Cubs are down in Kansas City this weekend. Matthew Boyd's pitching Sunday, so Cubs got their big guns going this weekend. The White Sox are having a heck of a time in Boston, and by heck of a time, I mean not a fun time. They are winning right now 7-6. They were up 5-0 in the game, but Boston, as I mentioned, has basically just been unbeaten the last month and a half, and they've won like 30 out of 40 or something crazy like that. So 7-6 in the seventh inning, the White Sox trying to get out of there with a win. They haven't beaten Boston all season. Boston is 5-0 against them right now. So Southsiders trying to get on the board against the Red Sox. It was Luis Castillo, their big trade acquisition in the pitching front for the White Sox. Castillo has struggled this year. Ran into a little bit of trouble today as well. Just the Boston's just kind of got it going right now. He went 4 innings, gave up 5 runs. He had 5 strikeouts, 1 walk. But Boston's just kind of putting the ball in play right now, making things happen. And When you're rolling good, you're rolling good. So they got him for 5 runs in 4 innings. So Castillo's first start, not what he was hoping for, but still has time to settle in. And yeah, currently the White Sox leading 7-6. But really the big news for them is this weekend is 3 games against the Guardians, who they lead by 3.5 games right now in the AL Central. And then they're hosting them for 3 games. So if the White Sox can, if they pull out a sweep, they can really distance themselves from Cleveland. If they're just able to win 2 out of 3, they're still in a good spot. So Cleveland's struggling right now. They've 3-7 in their last 10. They've lost 3 in a row. And all of a sudden, the White Sox got a little breathing room, a 3.5-game lead. Southside, it's going to be a fun weekend. Ozzie Guillen jersey retirement day is on Saturday. So I'm sure I know the house is going to be packed for that. So there'll be a big buzz there on the South Side. And it will be nice for them to be home. I feel like they haven't been home at all since the All-Star break. So this young team can get back to the Rate Field, and they played really well there this season. One of the top home records in baseball this season. So Southside is trying to hold on today in Boston. Of course, we have to talk about Bears training camp because
yes, indeed.
Football. I had football on my TV because the Hall of Fame game's on right now. So first preseason game of the season. I've been flipping back and forth between the White Sox and that game, but it is nice to have football back. 1 week from today, all the other teams start their first preseason game. The Bears play a week from Saturday at home. It's their only home preseason game. Then they have 2 on the road, and then they open the season on the road, and then they're back home week 2. So just one chance to see them at Soldier Field, and then like they're gone for a month. But then they'll be able to get the home crowd going. I think they have like a 3-game homestand or something like that, a bunch of home games early. But most physical practice of camp so far was the buzz on social media today. I think they normally go 2-hour practices, but I think they went like 2:10, 2:15 today. They were back in pads. They said there was a lot of physicality. The reporters there, a couple injuries, Braxton Jones and Montez Sweat left practice early. Both walked off the field. There's reports saying that Braxton Jones doesn't appear to have a significant injury, and that's important to note because Jones is in the 4-3-man battle, whatever it is, for the left tackle position, and that's one of the most important positions because that protects the blind side of Caleb Williams. Also before practice, Ben Johnson said they're still gathering info on safety Kobe Bryant's injury. He got hurt this week, and originally it was reported by ESPN that he was out 8 to 10 weeks. This was the first time Ben Johnson's talked since the injury. Mm. He said, I don't know where that timeline came from. We're still gathering that info. So it's kind of open-ended. Is it more severe? Is it less time? So we'll see there. But hopefully it's less time because the Bears are having 2 new safeties this year. They lost their 2 safeties from a year ago, Kevin Byard and Jaquan Brisker, and then they have Dylan Thienem in the rookie they drafted, and then Kobe Bryant was one of their big free agent signings coming over from the Seahawks, who won the Super Bowl last year. So hopefully Bryant is not out that long. We're looking here, some big money being spent in NFL. Running back contracts, you know, the debate the past few years is, seems like the running back position is losing its value, and it seems very replaceable. Teams are reluctant to draft some of them high or pay them because they think they can replace their production. But these 3 running backs, Jahmyr Gibbs, Bijan Robinson, and Jonathan Taylor, are 3 of the best in the NFL, and in the last 24 hours, all got big money contracts. Jahmyr Gibbs up in Detroit, 3 years, $67.5 million. And I think with incentives, it can go up to $75. Bijan Robinson's got a 3-year, $75 million extension down in Atlanta. And then over in Indianapolis, Jonathan Taylor got a 2-year, $44 million extension.
Man.
So the money is a flying in the running back market. So from Adam Schefter, the highest paid running backs in the NFL by their the new money here with the contracts average per year, Jahmyr Gibbs, $22.5 million. Bijan Robinson, $22.25 million. So Robinson signed earlier today, and then Gibbs one-upped them just a little bit. Man. And then Jonathan Taylor's getting 22, And you got Saquon Barkley, 20.6. Christian McCaffrey used to be the highest paid one. Yeah. He's all the way down at 19. So,
well.
It's just crazy.
It's amazing the amount of money. It's just incredible.
Yes.
And it's, that professional, you know, teams can somehow come up with that kind of dough.
Isn't that
crazy?
On
a regular basis all around the league for just about every position.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when you hear I'm just trying to make up an example. He signed a contract extension for $55 million a year. And that sounds like, that's not that much. Because yesterday somebody signed a deal for, you know, $250 million or whatever it was. I mean, it's just.
Yeah.
It's just wow.
The interesting thing to me is just how it varies from sport to sport because
football
is the most popular in America, but their contracts aren't the biggest because of how violent it is. So you're
really
that's what I think because you're always well. You just look at baseball or basketball; they're throwing like $200 million contracts, and you only really see $200 million contracts to the quarterback.
True.
And when because I think it's because it's just the way football is. It's and you always see the guaranteed money too. So it's like Darnell Wright just signed the 4-year $116 million contract, and he got 90 guaranteed. So the Bears are on the books for paying him $90 million no matter what, no matter if he gets cut, if he gets traded, the other team's got to pick. So like he's guaranteed that, but. In the NFL, they always have not the full guaranteed most of the time because if the player underperforms, if he gets hurt, they can cut him, and then the cap hit can be less, or if the last year is just not guaranteed, then they can release him and free up cap space. So I think it's just because the toll on the body, and then you look at like baseball, like if you just look at Bijan Robinson's contract, he got 3 years, $75 million. If you look at, on the White Sox, Andrew Benintendi a few years ago signed a 5-year, $75 million contract. And Benintendi is like, you know, a pretty good big league solid outfielder. And Bijan Robinson's like the best, one of the best running backs in the NFL, and they're making the same amount of money. So it's always interesting to look at that. The NBA contracts are ridiculous. Those are like,
that's astronomical.
You're paying a bench player like, $12 million a year, and he's playing like 15 minutes a game. So it is interesting to look through that because when you're looking at like Connor Bedard signed like the $75 million contract, it's like the same contract Benintendi signed. And Bedard's one of the, I think, the second highest paid player in the NHL right now. I mean, that's going to change with a few superstars coming off the books, but it is interesting to look at the money. Like the NHL isn't as popular, so they don't have as much money. So the highest paid player is making $19 million a year. And then you're looking at the NFL, there's four running backs making more than that. So it's interesting how sports works and the popularity and the money and all that.
Yeah,
if you're
sure
a nerd.
Is. Yeah. All right, Jack.
There we go.
Thanks for emptying your head full of sports.
Thanks for allowing me.
Fill it up again and we'll take a look inside Monday at 9 o'clock.